Hear the word of the Lord as it is written in the Gospel of Mark, chapters 14 and 15, and in selections from the heavenly doctrine. And after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and unleavened bread. And the chief priests and scribes sought how, after taking hold of him by craft, they might kill him. But they said, "Not on the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people." And when he was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he reclined, there came a woman having an alabaster vessel of ointment, a very precious liquid spikenard. And having broken apart the alabaster, she poured it on his head. And there were some who were indignant within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and have been given to the poor." And they admonished her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you belabor her? She has worked a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you desire, you may do them well. But me you do not have always." She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to put ointment on my body for the burying. Amen, I say to you, wherever this gospel shall be preached through the whole world, what she also has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard, they rejoiced and promised to give him silver. And he sought how he might opportunely betray him. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they slaughtered the Passover, his disciples said to him, "Where dost thou desire that we go and prepare, that thou mayest eat the Passover?" And he sends forth 2 of his disciples and says to them, "Go into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wherever he shall go in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the inn where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There prepare for us." And as his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he comes with the 12. And as they sat down and ate, Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you who eats with me shall betray me." And they began to sorrow and to say to him, one by one, "Is it I?" And another, "Is it I?" But he, answering, said to them, "It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man goes indeed, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." And as they ate, Jesus, taking bread and having blessed it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And taking the cup, when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I will no more drink of the produce of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus says to them, "All of you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered.' But after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even if all shall be offended, yet not I." And Jesus says to him, "Amen, I say to thee, today, in this night, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me 3 times. But he said the more exceedingly, "If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee." And also they all said likewise. The passion of the cross was the utmost degree of temptation endured by the Lord, by means of which he fully united the human to the divine and the divine to the human, and by doing this, glorified himself. That union itself is the means by which those who have faith in him, faith that is grounded in charity, are able to be saved. For the supreme divine itself was no longer able to reach the human race, which had removed itself so far from the celestial things of love and from the spiritual things of faith, that people no longer even acknowledged them and still less perceived them. Consequently, to enable the supreme divine to come down to all such as this, the Lord came into the world and united the human to the divine within himself. This union could not have been effected except by means of the most grievous conflicts of temptations and by means of victories in them, and at length by means of the final temptation, which was that of the cross. As a result of this, the Lord is able, from the divine human, to enlighten human minds, even those that are quite remote from the celestial things of love, provided that they are in faith grounded in charity. It is the Lord's divine human that enlightens both the eyes and the understanding of those who are spiritual. But this would not take place if the Lord had not united the human essence to the divine essence. And unless he had united them, neither men in the world, nor indeed any spiritual angel in heaven, would any longer have possessed any ability to understand or perceive what is good or true. Nor thus would they have possessed any blessedness and happiness at all, nor consequently anything of salvation. From this it becomes clear that the human race could not have been saved unless the Lord had assumed the human and glorified it. Amen.